Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along. It's episode 176 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here. And you are full of cold, young lady.
I am indeed. And you're new, apparently, which is a bit scary.
Oh, no, let's not go there. We're not going to talk psychic telepathy tonight.
Have me a glass of water. You haven't got me a glass of water for months and months and months. And the day I need it. Do you know, I was thinking that as I was coming up from the car. I thought, yeah. I'll have to get myself a glass of water.
That was it. I tuned into your thoughts. Before you know it, I'll be writing a book about being a psychic, but there we are. So, other than that, what have you been up to this week?
Oh, actually, I went to Star City.
Did you?
On Saturday night. Played indoor golf, mini golf.
That's fun. I like that there.
Yeah, and you know, we get to number 19 as well, and you can win a free game. I won a free game.
Well,
Jason.
Done, Zoe.
Hoorah.
Always trying to get something for nothing, and on this occasion succeeding, which is nice. So, what have we got coming up on the show today?
We're going to be having a listen to music from Jamie Russon and his new band, Silent Lights, I believe.
Now, Jamie's fixing his car today, so we have the bassist on the phone, so you'll be in tune with Sam, won't you? Then we have a natter in a bit. That should work out. Also today, we'll be talking to Jackie Graham. She's letting us know about her brand new album. Carl McGregor also joins us on the phone to talk music too. But first of all, it is Brand New Trees, the order of the day. And to tell us more about it, East Park Activities Officer Rachel Davis. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good stuff. Now, first of all, explain what an East Park Activities Officer does.
What I do.
Yeah.
Basically, the council has been granted a lottery fund from the Heritage Lottery Fund. It will be used to restore the park to its former glory as a Victorian park.
Right, so things like the bandstand and getting it back.
Yeah, the bandstand, the clock tower, the AstroTurf will be changed into a car park.
I thought you were going to say the Victorians had AstroTurf. Did they have cars as well?
Hang on.
Car park. No, it won't be
carriage
completely
park.
Victorian. We
okay.
have
no,
to...
No, there's carriage. Call it carriage park. It'll do. Put carriages here and a little picture of something. A horse pulling something. It'll work.
That would be quite quaint, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be nice, that would.
Yeah, and the lodge is being done up as well.
There's a lodge?
Yes,
I missed the lodge. Where's the lodge?
It's off Hickman Avenue.
Okay.
It's through the main gates when you drive in through the main gates.
Yeah.
It's just on the right.
Right, and see, normally I sneak in the side door, and I'm normally only down there for Woolstock.
The side door?
Yeah, there's a little gate on the side, isn't there, at the bottom? And when Woolstock, the only place you can park is about 4 miles away from the main gates.
Yes.
So, because it's a very popular event.
Well, that's why the AstroTurf is going to be changed into a car park, I think, for big events like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, to assist with the groups that are already on there, like Cycle Speedway and things like that, you know, they need places to park.
Mm-hmm.
So
they've got a very nice children's park there from what I can remember. My eldest lad used to love going there. They used to have a little wooden train with its little...
Do you still have a wooden train? There?
We don't have a wooden train.
It's probably
it's
dissolved.
His childhood memory's just been knocked out.
There's still plenty there for children, though. My job is actually funded by this lottery fund. And what I've got to do is I've got to organise and create more activities and events to bring more people onto East Park. And a lot of them will be to do, you know, children's activities. Mm. So
it is a nice park, to be fair. Yeah. And people don't think of it when they think of parks in Wolverhampton. They just think of
it's
West Park, don't they?
Where is it technically closest to? Because you're sort of on the Bilston side of things, aren't you?
Yes.
On the east of the city.
Yes.
So it's... A lot of people are coming from that way. And I remember going there quite regularly as a kid, and it's got nice big open spaces where kids can play.
Mm-hmm.
And we would be playing football out there or something like that. Not that I was any good at that ever, but that's not the point. It was nice to have a bit of a kick around, and it's a good place to do it.
Well,
and that sort of stays, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. Well, there's two very big fields on either side of the avenue, which is the main drive.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of sports go on there, football and rugby, things like that. I'm trying to get more rugby on. And
right. The look on her face as she said that.
And there's the sports cage as well and the tennis courts. And there's all sorts of stuff that's already there. So it is a good park, but it has a lot of potential.
And how does that tie in with the original design then? Are the things that you're looking at bringing back, but keeping all the good stuff that's been added over the years?
But we need to keep it modern, you know, to benefit modern day people.
Mm-hmm.
If we went completely back to the Victorian era, then it
you want really toilets and things, don't you?
Yes, exactly.
Like, they did have. Exactly. I know the Victorians had toilets, but they probably weren't. They hadn't got Dyson hand dryers or anything like that.
Exactly.
So.
Can I put a request in for mini golf? Because I think that's fantastic.
You're now obsessed with mini golf, having won a free game at Star City.
No, well, they used to have one at the West Park, and I think they've closed it down now. But I used to love taking the kids there.
They used to have golf at East, apparently. A colleague of mine was saying, you know, we should do some sort of golf event.
Yes.
But the problem is now is where the golf course used to be, there's been all sorts of trees and things planted in the way.
And you'll be wanting to keep those, won't you?
Yes, I'll be wanting to keep my trees.
In fact, you'd even like a few more, wouldn't
I'd
you?
I'd like a few more,
so
yes.
tell us about this one then.
On Saturday the 24th of November, we'll be holding a tree planting event at East Park in support of National Tree Week, which is from Saturday the 24th till, I think it's Sunday the 2nd of December, something like that. The park rangers and myself will lead and supervise the event and show those taking part how and where to plant their tree.
So do they have to bring their own tree?
No, we'll be providing the trees. We'll be giving people a selection of native species.
I hope your ash is completely fungus free.
We're not giving out any ash.
Okay, just to be on the safe side.
There's plenty of ash already on the tree. I'll be giving bird cherry, hornbeam, rowan, silver birch, alder and hazel trees, all of which are highly valuable to wildlife.
Mm-hmm. Have you asked the wildlife?
Have I asked the wildlife?
Do the squirrels like a particular
trees?
Type of tree? Is there a survey done?
Yes, they do, actually. But no, this is mainly, you know, insects and birds and things like that mm-hmm. that love these sort of these trees. I think that planting these trees as part of National Tree Week, it'll enable people to play their own small part.
They want to visit their tree, won't they? That's the thing.
And well, it's not so much about having their own tree. It's about giving something back to nature and giving something to the park to play a part in its its, you know, restoration.
And hopefully those kids will have a bit more respect for the place
because
they've been part of building. And that is I still think it's cool having your own tree. But they're going to be there because they want to use the park, they want to have a run around, but say that they know what's gone into to building it and mm-hmm. making it how it is for their generation.
Yeah.
Well, they will come back each week, won't they, to see how their tree they've planted has gone.
I think they
gone.
Will.
Yeah. Well, I hope they do. Something I do have to say, though, is the problem we have on East Park, the reason why people don't go is because they have this stigma about certain youths who visit it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gets vandalised a lot. And we've had problems in the past where trees have been damaged that we've planted. But I'm hoping the site that I'm placing the trees on is quite off the path.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that they won't get damaged or vandalised, but if they do, then we can't replace them.
Mm-hmm. And trees, unfortunately, saplings do have quite a high mortality rate anyway, don't they? Is it one in three that you lose, or is
they
it?
They do, but we won't be planting saplings, that's one bonus.
Are they fairly big?
They're 8 centimetre girth root ball trees.
That's a proper tree.
Yeah, and the hazel trees will all be whips. But
that means
still
nothing to me now.
Still bigger than saplings.
I knew saplings, but I didn't know. I don't
bigger than saplings, but smaller than the 8 centimetre girth
right.
trees.
Okay. And how tall are these going to be when they get put in? Are you going to need an adult to help you put this down the hole?
Yeah. Well, all children have to be accompanied by an adult,
mm-hmm.
And obviously you have to wear warm outdoor clothing and sturdy footwear.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're not going to be able to get the spade in the soil.
So you're actually going to let them dig the hole through?
Yeah, I'm going to let them do it themselves.
Okay.
We'll show them how,
you doing it
and
well,
they'll do it themselves. And obviously, if they need any help, we'll be there to help them.
And how much does it cost to have a tree put in East Park? How do they pay? Or have they got to pay?
Well, my colleague has bought the trees for me. Luckily, it hasn't come out of my lottery fund budget.
Well done, yeah.
It would all be gone by now.
But is there a charge for those who want to dig the hole and plant a tree?
Oh, no.
It's all
no.
free.
It's yeah.
But you do need to register.
You do need to book.
Yeah.
You need to email me, rachel.davis@wolverhampton.gov.uk.
And you're going to spell Davis for us?
Davies.
Because I never
and it's
get that
Rachel.
Right.
Rachel.
Oh, you're Rachel.
Rachel.
Davies.
Yes.
At wolverhampton.gov.uk.
.gov.uk, yes. And if you just email me and tell me how many adults and how many children will be coming with you.
And one tree per party.
One tree per party.
How many trees are there?
Do you know what? I can't even remember. But I do know how many people I'm limited to, and that's 60 people for this particular event, because I'll be doing events for schools as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be another event. I may be advertising another one soon.
Okay, well, we will let you know if that happens. Mm. But no, it sounds really nice, and it's a true green project.
Yes,
These trees, they must be a good, what, 3 or 4 years old when they're being moved into position, I'm guessing, from that size, or is it a bit older than that?
I'm not actually sure about that, if
your head of trees will know that, because we were saying, are you head of trees? No, we have a head of trees.
No.
What's his name?
He's not... His name's Steve Lowbridge.
And he knows all about this sort of thing?
He knows all about the tree. In fact, he's the one who's been helping me out a lot with this event, helping me plan it all, and my colleague Steve Mayle as well. They've both been very, very good in helping me out with this.
So, lots of trees.
Mm-hmm. And lots of trees.
60 people can come down there and plant them.
In fact, I think altogether it's cost £2,000 for the trees, right, just to buy the trees.
But it's a good investment though, isn't it?
It is, definitely.
And, I mean, I'm sure you probably, not being a tree expert, you don't know how old the trees are in the park at the moment, but they've been there a good few years, haven't they?
Oh, yeah.
And something like the avenue down the middle, that does look fantastic. And especially, I think, at autumn when you've got all those leaves falling.
Yes, definitely. All those London planes, they're called, the trees down the avenue. Uh-huh. They're lovely. Yeah.
You've been doing some research.
I know my trees ish because I did countryside conservation in uni, so I'm okay, but right. I'm more of a bird girl.
Right. So you're looking forward to what's going to land in the trees once they're up to full height.
Definitely.
So what else have we got on the way over the coming months? I suppose during the winter it's a bit quiet for you down there, and it's preparation for next summer.
Yes, it's mostly preparation for next summer, but there will be things like regular tree trails where I go around with a group, whoever shows up, and I tell them all about the different species on the site and their history and folklore and, you know, what age they get to and how tall and all this sort of stuff. Other things are we'll have guided history walks, guided bird watches.
And that's your favourite.
I'm really looking forward to.
You're officially a twitcher.
No, I'm not a twitcher.
You're not?
No, I'm not, because I love the common species as well as the rare species. Mm-hmm. I can appreciate them as well.
Unless they've made a mess on your car.
Even then.
Yeah.
And one of Michael's pet hates that he's on the car.
There'll be hopefully some photography classes.
And these are all going to be staged throughout probably the winter months and through into spring.
Yeah.
Which means, I suppose, the website is the best place to find out exactly what, where and when.
Yes. If you want to know what events there are on the park and when they'll be and what they'll involve, the best thing to do is to go onto the website and have a look. www.wolverhampton.gov.uk, and then just follow the links to Parks, East Park.
Look for that one. Don't go to West Park. No. It's lovely in West Park, but we want some more visitors in East Park, don't we?
Yes, we do, yes.
And once again, if you do wish to take part in the tree planting ceremony, I think I will call it. I think it definitely needs to be called a ceremony, doesn't it, if the tree's been planted and spades and stuff. rachel.davies@wolverhampton.gov.uk. Send your request through, and the first 60, pending your school's visits, will get their names down and they can bring their party along and come and do a bit of digging.
And there'll be refreshments and children's activities afterwards.
Wow.
If the lodge is done.
Yeah, as soon as it's like the holes are all filled, once everything's done.
That's going to be a whole day's worth, isn't it?
I think that's going to be a lot of trees to be planted.
It'll be fun.
No, it sounds like you do have quite a fun-sounding job, by the way.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
But we definitely want, on the carriage park, a picture of a horse-drawn carriage, and it called the carriage park rather than the car park. Yeah. Can you do that for me?
I will try.
Okay.
And then, I can't promise anything.
Then we'll come down for the unveiling and everything. Okay. Sounds like a plan.
As sponsored by Jason Forrest. No, I'll
slip in £5.50 for the sign if that's what it takes. But no, all sounds good. Thank you for joining us, Rachel.
Thank you very much.
And have a good time with that rather chilly event. But
I will do.
It'll be good.
Yeah. Bring gloves.
Yes, essential, I think, on that one. But it sounds like it should be a really good fun time. Mm. And the important bit is getting people involved from the community, in their community, and doing their bit in East Park. It sounds brilliant.
Yeah.
Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you very much.
No worries. Thank you.
Right. Let's take our first tune from our band. They are Silent Lights. This is Kings and Queens. We'll be right back.
Anne at Queen's, and that is Silent Lights. Jason.
Yep, and you've got a mouthful of herbal tablets.
I have, yes, because I've got a poorly throat.
Just to keep you going. Mm. I don't know.
I'm trying not to go into a coughing fit.
I've got some vocal zone over here that should work.
Oh, that would be better.
You can try one of them in a minute. Okay. First of all, though, let's have a chat with Sam. He's the bassist from the band. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How's it all going?
Very well, thank you. Very well. Very busy.
I can imagine it is. And now, as it is, Mr. Russon, who is also in the band, is he actually lead singer? Is that, he hasn't told me.
He is, yes. He's the lead singer.
I was guessing he was probably lead singer because he's like that. Well, because he, of course, does the theme tune to our podcast.
Yes, the intro and the outro.
Yes, that's our man. And it's good to know he's involved in another exciting project. So tell us a bit more about Silent Lights and how this all came together.
Well, Solid Watch is a four-piece band. It consists of myself, Jamie, Dan, and also Mike. We've only been together since February this year.
Mm-hmm.
It basically came about with Jay's previous band. They actually split up. So some of the members from that band went one way, and then Jay and Mike went another way. And, of course, we just founded Silent Lights. Since February, it's been non-stop. Absolutely non-stop, getting everything sorted.
I can imagine. And you've got music coming out your ears, haven't you, at the moment? So how many tunes have you put in the bag? Because there's an album on the way?
The album's out. It actually came out last Friday. Right. So you can get that on iTunes and everything else like that.
Mm-hmm.
On that album, there's 9 songs. All in all, there was about 12 or 13 we was working on. And the rest of them will probably make it onto album 2, which we're actually starting very, very soon.
That's a lot to do since it's only been February.
Absolutely.
So where are you classing the influences from then? Because I suppose if you've all been in other bands recently, you've all had a maybe slightly different direction musically in the past.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That's what I think makes the music so good that we play. I mean, I know I'm being a bit biased there, but we've all got different influences. I love some of the heavier stuff, but at the same time, I like a lot of dancey stuff like Depeche Mode. There's a lot of grunge in the in some of the songs that we play, and that obviously comes from a Nirvana or Mudhoney aspect as well. So, I mean, Mike on the keys as well, he's very classically trained, so a lot of the stuff that he actually plays on the keys, we can transpose into our songs, and there's like a good classical aspect of it.
Mm. And is it everybody that contributes towards a song, or is it one person
absolutely.
In particular?
Jamie's like the key songwriter, but if you're coming to the studio with an idea, we'll just sit down, we'll strip it back, then we'll all add our own little parts into it.
Mm.
And
tweak it till you've got it how you want it.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we was in the studio yesterday just writing a few new songs, and Jay came in with the basis of the idea, and then we all added different parts to it, and by the end of it, it sounded completely different, and we're just looking forward to getting that one recorded, to be honest with you.
Mm.
Well, it's prolific songwriters and producers at this moment in time. We've got 4 tunes we're taking from you today. We just heard Kings and Queens, so give us a little background on some of the songs we're hearing. So what's all that one about?
Kings and Queens was actually the first song that I think me and Jay ever ripped together. Jamie had the general idea of it, and then we just sat down and I came up with like the verse, little riff where it's a few octaves higher.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I'd take that song as it's something to kind of like leave the past behind. Really, I mean that was going through Jay's head when he ripped the song. He said, because I mean obviously he's been in bands previously, and we just wanted to get the new song and just rise above everything else.
Cool, and it's nice when you can move on and musically do that as well. Monday morning, though, which you're taking next, I'm guessing is much more about the start of the week being a little slower than we'd like.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I needed to listen to that song this morning, to be honest with you. Yeah, I think it's one of them songs that it's very self-explanatory. If you listen to it, you can relate to the lyrics, really. You know, it's all about not wanting to go to work on a Monday morning. Well, especially now the winter's coming up, walking to the train station, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, we will take note. Gigs, though, you say you've been busy with the songwriting. Have you been appearing on stage anywhere?
Absolutely, yeah. In the last couple of months, we've done a handful of gigs and we've played the album from start to finish.
So tried and tested with your public, which is good.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. We've played a handful of gigs, which is good, but the future's got a lot more gigs in line for us. We've got... at the moment, there's 4 confirmed, but there's like another, I read about 22 that we've got to just finalise. So
22.
As I said, we are very busy.
That's more
is that
tour.
Christmas,
that is a tour rather than a few gigs, that is.
I wouldn't say it's a massive tour. It's mainly going to be West Midlands based, but we just want to get our name out there so people can listen to the songs and enjoy them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like it's going to be well worthwhile. The public are liking it. They're going to be buying albums in real life as well as online. Is there a physical hard copy you can buy at your gigs?
There is a physical hard copy, yeah. The best way to find that is by finding us on like the Facebook site. and there's an online store where you can purchase them from, but there is a limited run of 100 CDs that are actually made, and we all split them between the band, so that's like 25 each, but mine are all sold out at the moment.
Okay, so you're done, but contact some of the others and you can probably get a real physical copy with artwork and stuff that you can hold.
Absolutely,
and touch.
Yeah.
And you maybe you can get signed by the band.
Well, you never know. Maybe just grab us at a gig, I'll be more than happy to doodle on it for you, that's fine.
And other than that, if you want to find out more, what's the website?
You can find us at Facebook, it's the easiest place. Facebook / Silent Lights UK.
SilentLightsUK.
That's the one, yeah.
And you can probably get links to the music and all the sites to purchase from there. Or pop your name into iTunes and pick the band from there.
That's it, yeah. You'll find us on iTunes.
Brilliant. Great to speak to you. Enjoying the music. We're going to say you can take a listen to another tune now. And if there was, you know, if there's one gig that's on the way that you know of at the moment they've got to get along to, where is it and when is it?
Okay, that's the 23rd of February and we plan the Attrition Bishop in Birmingham.
So put that in your diary now. Tickets for that one, again, probably through the website?
Absolutely, yeah. Find us through the website and we'll be able to hook you up with tickets.
Brilliant. Sam, thank you for joining us.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Bye now. Right, let's take that tune Monday morning. Let's see if this clears your head from any leftover blues from having to go back to work this week. We'll be right back. Morning from Silent Lights. Now onto music of another variety. And a brand new album from the one and only Jackie Graham, for sentimental reasons, has been released. And it's out there in the wild and has been for a few weeks now. Jackie joins us on the phone. Hello.
Hello, lovely. All right, Jason?
How you doing? You all right?
All right, my darling. And Zoe?
I'm fine, thank you. Bit of a cold, unfortunately.
Oh, girl. You know it's the time for the time
weather.
Of year.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no way we were going to bring you into the studio and risk you getting a cold because you've got that many gigs going on at the moment. And in fact,
yeah,
tomorrow...
I'm travelling, yeah. You're
off to Tenerife tomorrow.
I know, it sounds flash, doesn't it?
Oh, lovely.
I mean, yes, my darling, listen. It does sound flash, but all I'll see is the airport, the hotel, the venue, back to the hotel, back to the airport, and home again.
Oh, dear.
But a little bit warmer than we're getting in the UK just at the moment.
can't you just squeeze in a bit of sunbathing somewhere?
Oh, that's what a little bit
lovely.
Of 5 minutes I got, darling. Yes, I'm going to top up my tan.
So it must have been absolutely mad with the album coming out, and of course, your honour in Birmingham recently.
Oh, darling, isn't that wicked?
Mm-hmm.
So my gosh, I got a star on Broad Street, darling.
I should think so as well. It's taken its time coming, but it is there and for all the right reasons.
Oh, bless. You know, I mean, everybody thought I came from Wolverhampton, but I said, no, darling, Wolverhampton adopted me, but I am a Brummie born and bred.
You are.
Yeah, and it's just nice. And it was, I was very, very, very honoured, you know, to receive that, you know, by the Lord Mayor, and people came from far and wide, you know, some fans and stuff from up north and down south and stuff, just to come and celebrate the day with me. So
I should think half of Wolverhampton was there, because, come on, you are one of our own, even though you say you were born
that's
in Brum.
Lovely,
but,
yeah.
Fantastic. I was actually out the country myself when it was all going on, so
yeah.
I was looking for press clippings and things and seeing it on the internet, and really proud of you. So,
so
what did you get?
You
obviously got your star. Did they throw a buffet as well?
Oh, yes. We had a little, you know, a little drink and a little, you know, nibbles and stuff like that. And the Lord Mayor came and presented it to me in Birmingham and stuff like that. So, yeah, it was a really lovely evening. I mean, I sang a few songs, you know, from the new album and things that people knew me from the 80s. My son started it off. He did a couple of three numbers that, you know, that he'd written and covered. So, he played as well. So, it was really, really nice, the celebration and stuff. Like I said, you know, the fans that have been with me from the beginning, darling, and I keep saying that I'm gaining more and more fans as the years go by, and, you know, especially the older generations that, you know, was young, free, and single when I was doing my own thing, have now got families of their own.
And bringing
them with them, you know, to shows and stuff. And I'm saying, you come to see Auntie Jackie? Oh, that's lovely, darling.
I can't imagine what it must be like being in the music business for that long and like you say, having the fans
grow with you and develop with you.
I just can't imagine what that would be like.
Sorry, baby. You know, at the beginning, obviously, back in the sort of early, mid-80s when I came out and everybody thought I was an overnight success. And I said, no, darling, I've been gigging for a good 10 years, 10, 12 years before even getting spotted. But I went, it's a dream, obviously. You know, you're at home, and my brother and my cousin we're singing with the hairbrush, you know, in front of the mirrors and stuff like that, you know, doing our bit. And then to think that, you know, I ended up being in the recording industry, and then thinking that, you know, listen, I'm aware that this might only be a 5 minute thing, so you might be a one hit wonder and all the rest of it, and then that will be it. But my darling, you know, there by the grace of God, I got. Derek wrote some really wonderful songs for me, and it stood the test of time, and it's a part of people's lives and backdrops and everything else. And it's just, you know, it's just great that, and people say, do you ever get tired of singing those songs? I go, no, darling, because every time I sing them, cheek, every audience and their faces are a picture. And to think that you can just make people smile with a memory and obviously the good memories, and for the gift of the voice, darling, you know, If I can make you smile and you like what I'm doing, then it's a good day for me.
I would love to be able to sing.
Yeah, it really is, darling. It's a gift, and you know, I try to use it well. And where I can help with that gift, then you know, call me.
So the album's on Cherry Red Records.
That's right.
The 12 tracks. Talk us through some of the song selections in there, because it must have been difficult picking 12 songs to go on this album.
Yeah, it was, darling. You know what happened? 2009 and 2010, I got a call from the BBC to work with the BBC Big Band. And in 2009, it was to do Gershwin. And 2010, it was to do Duke Ellington, okay? Now, you know, I've always loved this kind of sound and everything else. When they said to do it, and I started to research the Gershwin songs, and I thought, I know this stuff. You know, I was aware of certain things, but the amount of stuff that I knew and I didn't realize until I started, because a lot, some of the stuff, you know, my dad used to be whistling to whistling and singing and humming and stuff when I was growing up. So, you know, Nat King Cole, Ella Fitzgerald, you know, Sarah Vaughan and people like that, and, you know, Billie Holiday and stuff like that. Well, in the 70s, my boyfriend, who I went to school with, who's my hubby now, you know, took me to see Lady Sings the Blues. So there's a lot of things in that that I really liked. So when I did Gershwin, I thought, I like this. And people who are not fans of me, but fans of the big band, you know, heard me do my bits and pieces in there and, you know, said to me afterwards, you know, I really didn't know much about you, Jackie, but I'm going to touch base and see what you've done and everything else. But I really think you ought to do more of this kind of music. So it was just to show that there is another side of me.
Hmm.
And, you know, so it's memories of me growing up with my dad and everything else and other people within the family like Uncle Joe and stuff like that that I think, you know, my dad would love to hear me sing that. Uncle Joe had the opportunity to see me do that in Birmingham at the town hall with the Big Bag themselves. And he was so pleased and so proud. And you know, I just, people that I've loved and lost along the way. And I think it's just a little, you know, celebration for them, really, the songs mean, the lyrics and stuff and everything mean so much to me. And it's just, you know, to say, I know that they're watching down on me and smiling now and everything else. But just for my own fans to see another side of me.
Well, you got songs like Summertime, Unforgettable, Someone to Watch Over Me.
Sorry, yeah, that's right. I've got,
God Bless This, God Bless the Child, Good Morning Heart. Some fantastic songs. What's your favourite on there? Go on, you can tell us.
Oh, my goodness.
You've got to choose one.
For those people who are not really into the maybe jazz years old, because they're 1920s, 1940s sort of sound, but I'd like to think we'd hear my version and think, oh, I quite like this. We'd then tune into, you know, touch on with the internet and everything else, touch base with what the originals and stuff were like. Mm-hmm. So it's just a way of opening the doors for people who don't know that kind of music and might like it. So my favorite track, what's different? Things like Summertime, which was Porgy and Bess, an opera that Gershwin and the brothers wrote. But this particular song was celebrated by the African Americans and that sort of thing, because, you know, it just summed up really what, because it took. I think it's been covered over 25,000 times,
mm-hmm.
If not more. And back then in the 1920s, it wasn't, you know, the opera didn't really work. But, you know, throughout the years, everybody sort of celebrated and chose that song itself, you know, as their own. And so it's been covered from, you know, across the world now. So, but my version is a little bit more of an up-tempo version of that classic. So, have a listen and see what you think.
That's the one that you want. If you could only sing one song on the album, that would be the one you would choose.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, even though a lot of stuff was covered, like I said, by people like Billie Holiday, who got a very unique voice, but they had a very sort of like a sad tone to her voice, even though she was doing sort of mid-tempo stuff. And but you know, when you hear my version, somebody said that when they play my version of certain songs, like Lover Man and things like that, it just sounds really sort of summery, and you know, you feel as if you're driving with your top down and it's just, you know, cheerful and stuff. But the lyrics are sort of, my man's left me and, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do and all the rest of it. But hopefully you can smile about it, you know?
Yeah, you have got a happy voice and a fantastic way of bringing yourself across to the world. And that's going to continue because early part of next year you've got your autobiography coming out as well,
that's
haven't
another
you?
Another thing, yes. I mean, throughout the years, people have said, oh, you know, you ought to write it. I'm going, what have I got to tell anybody? I don't know.
I bet it's an interesting story, though.
Well, you know, sometimes, I mean, even when I've sat with you every now and again, and I probably told you little bits and pieces, it just comes out in conversation, and going, oh, really? You ought to put that down. And that's really what's...
I bet when you've looked back through the past, though, I bet you've been quite amazed at yourself at what you've done and where you've been and who you've met.
Yeah,
so it'd be nice to have it all in a book. It'll look all in one darling, place.
You know, there are some funny things. There are some serious things. Obviously, being within the industry as well as in family life and all sorts of things. Mm. So I think it's a little bit of warts and all that you know, hopefully will help somebody somewhere with whatever aspects of the book that, you know, what will be in there. They've just convinced me that, you know, it's worth putting down. And when I have told little stories, and we, you know, myself and Tony and the kids have been around, and we've, you know, oh, do you remember this? And oh, do you remember that? And Tony is like an amateur photographer. So he documented everything from, you know, where we was at school even.
Brilliant. So some fantastic photos as well.
Yeah. So there'll be some nice photos. And obviously the kids growing up and their friends and family and things that countries have, you know, places and people I've met and so on. So, you know, there'll be I hope it's going to be interesting.
So that's going to be great. It's going to be the book early part of next year. The CD, with actually part of the biography in the CD booklet as well, and some great photos from the last 30 years too.
That's true.
So that's sort of get a bit of a taster, and it'll get everybody ready for wanting to buy the book when they can in 2013.
I hope so, darling. I must admit, I really hope so. I hope they'll find it all interesting. But, you know, and I hope that there's something on the album that, you know, somebody's going to say, I really like that, you know. Mm. You know, so, I hope to touch somebody's, you know, somewhere with the gift of the voice and the songs that I've chosen to put on the album.
Well, the album itself is available from cherryred.co.uk. Just look for Jackie on there. Or, Jackie, give us your website and your Twitter feed and everything so people can keep in touch.
Oh, baby, you know, I don't even know how to... I leave that for Natalie then to sort of... I never remember it. I just call it, but I never really remember, you know.
I'm sure,
but you can find it all.
Yeah. Well, if you want to follow Jackie on Twitter, it's JAKI_Graham.
Underscore. You see what I mean? Even though it's flashing underscore. Yeah, that was a good... Yeah.
So, and you actually, you're there with your phone tweeting away, and you've just been given it set up, and you don't know how it works, do you?
Well, you know, I do that, but, you know, so the kids them sort of put me for, especially Natalie, you know, I'll say, you know, oh, do you think they'd be interested in that? But some of the things she makes me put on there is like, really, do people want to know that? but I get feedback on it. Like, what can I say? I do get feedback. She's giggling away and thinking, oh, you ought to put that down. I'm like, okay.
Well, you can get to the official website at jackie-graham.com, or, as I say, at Jackie_Graham on Twitter.
That's the proper way to, yeah, I suppose that's the proper way to say it. And I know. But yeah, I mean, the record's out in all the outlets, like HMV I think in the stores as well. So I think it's on Sainsbury's online and that kind of thing. And you can get it through the internet and that kind of thing. So, you know, it's all over the place as well, Chick.
So get your copy and more importantly, try and get along to a gig as well, because if you know, as long as you're actually in the country. Do you know where you are next? Obviously, this week you've got Tenerife, but are you playing locally in the near future?
Offhand, I know that I come back and I go down to Minehead and then I come back up and then I go, I'm doing something in Birmingham, and then after that point I'd have to look up my diary.
So check the website, because all you're thinking about at the moment is how many pairs of clothes to pack and which bikini to wear, aren't you?
You, Jason, you know the story. the thing is, the case is never unpacked. It sort of gets, the stuff comes out, gets washed, and then certain things go back in there again, and then, you know, you're changing it around. But
I
still take far too much stuff.
Yeah, because if it's anything like me, I tend to take loads of shoes and bags.
Oh, girl. But, you know, with the weight and stuff, like, you can't do them things anymore.
No, Tony's got one change of clothes and you've got half your wardrobe. Yeah, no, I know how it is.
Why do you need all that stuff? I said, well, you never know.
Well, that's it. You need shoes to go out and you need comfy shoes, you need sandals, you need... There's all sorts of shoes you need on a holiday.
And constantly make sure that I carry a weighing scale with me as well. So for the luggage,
oh,
I got one of those little ones, you know, and I think, just in case, chick. And if I pick up anything from abroad or whatever it is, and I decide, I think, oh, is that going
to... You've got to be sure,
nobody?
Haven't you?
Yeah. Well, we're having a chat with Carl McGregor in a bit, and he does a fair amount of travelling as well with his music too, so we'll have a natter with him in a bit. But
Say hello, Jackie, for me,
I will do. Jackie, it's been fantastic talking to you. It's always lovely to hear from you.
Oh, bless your heart, darling.
And the album is an essential one for Christmas, I think, for all the family, isn't it?
Well, I can imagine it being played around the dinner table and things, like, you know, while, you know, you've got your Christmas parties going on, having, you know, your main meal and things like that. It'd be nice. It'd be nice and relaxed.
Well, you enjoy your gigs and enjoy your Christmas. It's not too far away now. And we look forward to hearing from you early part of next year when that autobiography is out.
Oh, bless your heart. Honestly, Jason, thank you ever so much. Mm-hmm.
Cheers. Ta-ra for now.
Thank you very much.
All right, cheers, Zoe.
Bye-bye.
Ta-ra, baby girl. Bye.
There's Zoe. More music for you from Silent Lights. This one fits in with the state of your cold
My
at
health.
The moment. Yeah, it's called I Can't Breathe.
I can't breathe.
breathe.
I know, but we stopped going on about yourself.
Silence.
All you you're on back and end to the song. There we are. Okay. Right, now we go back to the phone lines where we find the one and only Carl McGregor. Hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Jack?
I'm all right. How are you keeping?
I'm good, thanks, mate. No,
first things first, Jackie Graham said to say hello when we were just talking.
Oh, brilliant. I was with Jackie a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. Your paths crossed, and I'm sure you've worked with her on stage a fair few times, haven't you?
Well, I tell you what, she goes back a long way. She's just such a consummate pro. It's always great to hook up with her.
So tell us a bit more about you and your career then, because those of you who don't know, Carl McGregor, fantastic voice, brilliantly talented, can play drums and everything. And
you're too kind.
No, I know at the same time I wouldn't imagine, because it'd be a bit bumpy.
Oh, no, no, well, Phil Collins does it, but Carl does it properly.
I do sing and play drums.
I imagine that's really difficult to do.
It's one of those things that you do get used to it. It's like, you know, the more you do, the more you multitask, the more you adapt to it.
Yeah, I suppose if you start thinking about it too much, that's when it goes out the window.
Yeah,
well, keeping that beat up.
It's a bit like learning to drive, you know, when you're learning to drive, you're concentrating on a lot of things, you know, you're changing gear, you're steering, you're checking the mirror, and it's like, and the clutch and all that stuff. But the more you do it, the more you get used to it, and you can have a conversation without thinking about it.
I still had a proviso in there, because you've got to have one powerful voice, because normally you get these singers, they stand up on stage, they've got the diaphragm fully extended, they're stretched out, they're breathing, and you're sat down.
To be able to do that sat down,
that's amazing.
that is the challenge actually, but getting away from it,
but there we are. So tell us more about the whatever guys your band's in, because often you're the Carl McGregor band touring around. We've talked in the past, on whether it's been on BBC WM or other radio stations, about all the different gigs that you do throughout the area, but give us a bit of a flavour of what you get up to.
Well, we do a lot of function stuff. We get hired by a lot of people that are putting on parties or weddings or Christmas occasions, and some corporate dues as well. We'll go in and do their functions, and it's mainly kind of soul and Motown. So we do a lot of Stevie, Lionel Richie, Earth, Wind and Fire, that kind of stuff, Chaka Khan. And it's good stuff. It's good toe-tapping stuff, good dance floor fillers, you know.
But the way you present it as well, I mean, the way you bring the show together, that's all part of it, because you know different people, you bring them in, Beverly Knight being one of them, obviously Jackie Graham, Chris Eaton you've worked with in the past as well, and you bring in different people in depending on the function and the event, and every time it's something different, but you just sort of gel together and just play.
Well, I'm fortunate. I've been really fortunate over the years, because I've been a session musician myself. I've worked with so many different people, and so many different musicians as well. A lot of musicians, and you know, you get on, you meet people, you get on well with them, and you know, so you take their numbers and you think, hey, I'm doing a show here. Do you fancy doing this? Oh yeah, you know. So you people jump on you on the gig, have a good time. And that's the way it kind of happens, really. You just kind of get to know people, you network, and you know, sometimes a lot of it's a bit like putting together a football team when you're putting musicians together. You know, you put together a team that works really well, that knows how to play really well.
Yeah, well, I think that's it. I think it shows the talent of the musicians to be able to just get on stage and gel together, whereas you might have somebody who doesn't really know what they're doing.
And they can play their own stuff, but yeah, they just can't work with someone
else. Can't work with somebody else.
And I mean, talking of football as well, I mean, when Wolves were promoted, because you're a big Wolves fan, aren't you?
Yes, and
when we were promoted via the playoffs in Cardiff a few years ago now, but you played that night at the post-match party, and that was a good night. It was a good night to be had by all, wasn't it?
That was one of the highlights of that. Was a fantastic night. That was the whole day was great, because Dave Johns, we got to know Dave Johns really well, and so he was kind of really instrumental in getting us involved in the club, We went to the game, and we didn't even get much time to sound check. As soon as the game finished, we had to hot foot it back to the team hotel. And
the traffic was terrible that night as well. Anyone would think there'd been a big match on.
Yeah, it was great. But it was great, though, because Bev was with us as well, Bev Knight, and she joined us on stage. It was great to see so many people having a good time. It was great to see Kev Moxie on the dance floor as well. That was great.
Well, I was there with my dad, and we were sat opposite Ian Wright, and he was at the same table. It was one of those nights where everyone was there, weren't they?
Yeah, Ian Wright, Darren Campbell, the athlete as well, and Mark Bright was there. So quite a lot of people. It was brilliant. It was a really, really good night.
But maybe on a slightly sadder note, on when the Queen Mother passed away, which had been a couple of years earlier on that year, wasn't it? You actually sang the national anthem for us down here at Molyneux. And it was the last, last day of the ITV digital franchise, and they'd switched off the transmitters, popped us on ITV1, and obviously we had to do our tribute to the Queen Mum. And I said my bit, and then you came on and sang a bit of the national anthem for us. And that must have been a terribly moving moment, and one that was nerve-wracking, knowing you were being watched by 10 million people plus across the UK.
It really was an amazing occasion. We were at home to Manchester City, mm-hmm. I think they were top of the table at the time. We were second, and It was a really moving occasion. I remember thinking, okay, Carl, don't mess this up.
I had the same thoughts on my speech as well. And I know we were repeated on BBC WM and other media outlets as well on what we'd both done. And it was well received. But getting that and doing it right and being a tribute to a great woman who had stood so far at the forefront of the UK for so many years. It's a nightmare knowing you're going into that, but still wanting to do it and wanting to do it right and knowing you can do it as well.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, you just keep focus on what it's about. You know, forget about the fact that there are 28,500 people there, and just focus on what you're doing, you know. And I suppose it's the same with anything, really. It's really important to get something as important as that to get it right. Mm-hmm. I felt really honoured to do that.
And you know, we were very pleased to have you. So, loads of great things in the career over the years, many more to come, and I know you're keeping busy, but if people do want to get in touch and find out more about how to book you or any of the bands you can pull together for any event, what do they do? Where do they go?
Well, they can email me at carlmcgregor@hotmail.com.
Give us the full spelling on that one.
Carl McGregor, C-A-R-L, McGregor, M-C-G-R-E-G-O-R. At hotmail.com.
I won't ask you for the hotmail.com spelling.
I've been really blessed, really, but meeting so many fantastic people and you know, both in this country and in the States as well. You know, I've had the privilege of working with a lot of Gloria Gaynor being one of them as well, and that's always great, but it's always great to do stuff in your hometown, in your home patch. You know, that's what it's about, really, and you know, giving people in your home patch a chance to see what you do and try and, you know,
and enjoy themselves, basically. I mean, you're part of making an event, and it must be great for you doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. For example, when we launched the event that we were running at Molyneux called Rendezvous, mm-hmm. that was really, really cool as well. You know, having it at the club, you know, and having a regular show. And so it's something that we'd love to do again, actually. We kind of miss it, but we'll see what happens.
Well, it's finding the time and getting everyone in the right place at the right time, so fingers crossed that can come together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it's the funding as well, you know. It's one of the things, you know, raising sponsorship and funding is really difficult this, you know, in the current climate. But, you know, it's something that we never... we never rule that, you know.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem, because you're getting 14, 15 people on stage at a small venue. That it's got to be intimate, otherwise it doesn't work. And it's getting those people there and making the night for them, and they've got to be part of it. They're up close to it. And there are some things which work in a nice venue with 150 to 200 people in, and there are other things which work in stadiums, and they've both got a very different feel to them. And
we go out in different sizes as well. You know, we do slim the band down to as few as five people. You know, so we have the big lineup, we have the smaller lineup. You know, to suit the occasion.
Well, any event you can do it, I think, is pretty much the order of the day. And from the times I've seen you play, I know you can. So it's absolutely fantastic, Carl. Always good to talk to you. Great to speak to you, and we will no doubt catch up sometime early part of next year. It'd be great to speak to you again soon.
Fantastic. Really good to talk to you guys. Thanks, Jenny.
Thank you.
Ta-ra for now.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.
Right, let's take our fourth and final tune from Silent Lights. This is Emotional Violence.
It's hard to be free with society looking down on you and me. We just like to be living in harmony. So please won't you see that we just want to be free. Yeah, free, yeah. When we get old, we'll be 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 free, yeah. Emotional violence.
Silent Lights.
And?
Oh, something to do with violence.
Emotional violence, you see? Check whether you're paying attention, but there we go. Right, are you going to go and have a lie down in a darkened room to recover for next week?
I think my paracetamol's are wearing off now.
You poor thing. I don't know what we're going to do with you. At least your jumper matches your boots today,
I know,
which is
always
good.
Do you know, I thought that about it. See, it's your psychic ability coming in again. Yeah. A couple of minutes ago, I thought, my jumper matches my boots. That was handy.
You hadn't realised when you got dressed today, but but it worked. Fantastic outfit. Thank you for joining us this week. We'll be back for next week's episode 177.
Hoorah.
We'll see you then. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.